Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, and it all centers around the host and founder of the show, Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. And she's going to be talking with famous author Mary Higgins Clark on today's program. Also, our senior correspondent Steve Wiseman will be talking with Dr. Roger Landry, who has conducted extensive practical research on the influence of lifestyle on the aging process and memory loss. He's also going to talk to us about obituary scams, so keep us informed of fraud and scams and cybersecurity and all those things that we need to know here in 2015. Let's jump right into the program now with our host, Carol Marx, in conversation with John Gurley. He's a former professor of economics at Stanford, and he's 96 years old, and he's just written a new book titled Even More Vignettes of Yvette at V. It's published by Author House, and V is the name of a elderly care facility in Palo Alto, California.
What motivated you to write these books?
Well, the motivation, I think, was we had some success in our goals, and the main goal was just to bring happiness to my wife each day, and that meant a variety of things: dressing her well, having her room very colorful, taking her out each day over to the Stanford Shopping Center, and just a variety of things, the new things every day that we could think of, and just talking to her about her past and so on. And we think we had some success on that, and that's why I wrote the books, and I got to ask you,
following up on your talking about, you know, making her room more colorful, because the room that that she moved into when she went into the memory support section of the care center was really very drab. Does it make a difference when you put strongly colored pictures and furniture in a room for someone who does have dementia?
Yes, I think so. That was our experience. That I had to do something very fast, and I was rent furniture for the room when she was taken over to the memory support unit. And I didn't do a very good job at that. The furniture was too large, and it was too drab. It was all browns and tans, and so finally we figured out that that we could do something better in her room, and so as you saw in the pictures, we got a new sofa, and we got a new very colorful chair, and the furniture was a little bit smaller than what we originally had. And then, as you mentioned, we put up very bright pictures on the wall. And those are some pictures that she had recognized because they came from our apartment. And she looked at them quite frequently. So especially one that was new, and that was the Andy Warhol picture of flowers right next to her bed. And she seemed to love that. She looked at those flowers all the time.
Now, you've written three books, am I correct? And going back to your second book, which is entitled More Vignettes of Yvette at VI, and for those who don't know first, what is VI? Is that the name of the place that she was at?
Well, the title for the first book is Vignettes of Yvette at V. It's not pronounced Vi, it's pronounced V, and it's just a crazy name for a very luxurious, large retirement home in Palo Alto. And I don't know where they got the name, but it's pronounced V as in the letter V. Well, the vignettes it's just a French word for very brief, impressionistic writings about about something. You just leave out all the details, and you just put in what it's almost like diary entries, you know.
And they were all very good. Now, I wanted to mention your second book of vignettes, and that one you write that through a slip of the tongue, you were able to meet the woman who would make your life a dream. So tell us how you happened to meet your wonderful future wife.
Well, this was in the Second World War, and I was just being transferred from one base to another in the United States, and I was sent at one point to cryptography school. We had an interview with a captain. But I had, at that point, I had some very good thoughts about them because they were our allies, and they were fighting Hitler, and I thought Hitler was the main enemy. And I expressed myself that way, and that just took me right down to the bottom of the class because politically they thought that I was unacceptable. And I never got any farther in cryptography, so I was sent as a clerk typist out to California, and it turned out to be just within an hour of my hometown. And occasionally I got weekend passes and went back to my hometown, Sacramento, and there I met Yvette. And if it had not been for my indiscretion before this captain, I never would have been in that position to meet Yvette. And I thought that was just a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, nothing happens by chance, John. That's what I firmly believe. Now, in trying to communicate with your wife, it must have been very difficult, especially later on in her dementia, because you write she only had two moods. One was happy and the other was not happy, agitated. So did you find any techniques that were helpful in interacting with your wife?
That were helpful in treating her dementia?
Yeah, or being able to get through to her.
To get through to her.
Yeah.
Well, she, one dementia is different from all the other dementias. And,
true.
And it just happened that Yvette's dementia allowed her to continue to recognize me as her husband, and so that was a big plus. Now that doesn't always happen in dementias, and that enabled me to every single day to recount what she had done and her accomplishments, and I went over her life. I went over the things that I'm pretty sure that she might remember in the past, and we did that every single day. We just talked and talked and talked, and often the talking was as Carmen, her caretaker, was wheeling her in her chair across the street to the Sanford Shopping Center, and we were looking at various things, and I would just pick out something that would remind me of something in the past, and then I would tell Yvette about that. And we just kept going like that, day after day, and she seemed to retain those stories, and she looked at us as, you know, in ways that suggested that that she knew what we were talking about. You see, dementia involves a lot of physical disabilities too. It's not just mental disabilities, as you know. And her physical disabilities were some of the worst parts of the dementia. She finally was unable to talk very well. She tried talking, and it was sort of inarticulate, and so she had to communicate with us in other ways. And then her dementia took away her ability to walk, and she was confined to a transport chair. And then her fingers began curling up into fists, and that prevented her from feeding herself, and so she had to be fed. So there
was a long hill to go down. And, you know, I guess the most moving and ironic chapter in your book was the one that has the title Suicide or Side by Side, which you wondered what would happen if your wife died before you, or it was the reverse. And then, you know, when I learned that your wife died not too long after you wrote this chapter, you know, I thought, wasn't that ironic? And you must have felt that way, too.
Yes, well, that's right. I wrote that it would, if I died first, it would be easier on her. She would soon forget me, probably. But if she died first, it would be very painful, and it has been very painful for me. I thought that time was on my side. That as time went by, the pain would be less, but it hasn't. It hasn't proven that way, and I still miss her very much.
That's John Gurley in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled Even More Vignettes of Yvette at V. It's published by Author House. Carol Marks returns in a moment in conversation with world-famous author Mary Higgins Clark when A Touch of Gray continues.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. It is important to address a personal emergency response system in your home in case of falls or injuries. AARP encourages their use for many older Americans to enhance independence and security, especially for those living alone. Many brands of PERS are available on the market, and seniors should consider their specific needs and budget before deciding on a system. The Federal Trade Commission provides free online information. One can get a system as basic as wearing a necklace or bracelet and push a button that will transmit to an installed response center through your landline telephone. In the event of an emergency with falls, chest pain, a suspected intruder, a press of the button will have a 911 ambulance dispatched to your home, even if you cannot reach your phone. PERS systems can be rented or purchased through local hospitals and are affordable and serviced by representatives. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is our host, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Mary Higgins Clark. She's a New York Times bestselling author and has written 34 suspense novels, and 2015 marks the 40th anniversary of the publication Where Are the Children?, the book that launched her career. She's going to talk to Carol about her latest, Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories, published by Simon & Schuster.
Now, this book contains a novella and other short stories, which helps mark the 40th anniversary of the book that launched a remarkable career. So when it comes to writing, did you know very early on that that was something that you wanted to do?
Yes. I was always writing suspense. My early short stories were, I guess, the first one I sold 8 years ago. And I realized after I had been writing some, that I was writing suspense, and I looked at my bookshelves, and I thought, why not? Because of all the books that I read, I saw so many from Agatha Christie, Josephine Tay, Niall Marsh, and I realized, this is where I belong. Because before that, I had written the boy meets girl kind of stories for magazines.
And you were right on the target when you decided that was what you were going to do. And you persevered over 6 years and 40 rejections. And then you got your letter of acceptance for Where Are the Children? And do you think that it's kind of ironic that that happened and then you stopped writing this novella, which just recently completed? So one thing began another.
Well, I had started it 40 years ago. And I put it aside and wrote Where Are the Children, which became such a success. But just this last summer, my son was going through some boxes of things I started, didn't finish kind of thing. And he picked this one out. He said, you know, this is a really good story. Why don't you finish it? And I read it, and I thought, I like it. So I'm going to finish it. And I loved having it set in 1974 because it was such a different world in those days. And since I had been in advertising and also had written shows about beauty, I knew what the thinking was. In those days, Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth Arden were the top makeup companies in the country. And they were the ones who were in the papers all the time. So I just thought, no, I'll have another company, and they're launching a new product, beauty mask, and they have one model, this supermodel, who is their face for it, and also she does all the commercials. And then something starts to happen, and then she turns up missing. And I thought, it's a good premise. Let's go with it.
It is. And when you went back to finish it, did you have problems trying to find out or trying to figure out who you wanted to be the villain in it?
Oh, that was the one that I wasn't sure of, which of the three men who knew her best was the villain. And I after 40 years, I figured out which one it was, which I won't tell you.
Of course not. But that's why I loved reading it, because I couldn't figure it out, you know, and that's what made it so interesting. And I've always thought it's remarkable that you come up with new ideas for your books. In The Cinderella Murder, for example, the plot revolved around a TV reality show. So before we talk about your first published short story in your book, Stowaway, was that also partially drawn on your years of experience as a flight attendant on Pan Am?
Oh, yes, because I was on the last plane that went into Prague before the Russians closed it to Western planes. And the airport was filled with, there were four or five guards with armed rifles, and the atmosphere was miserable. We took just eight or seven men. They were the only ones there, and one of them said, it is not wise to advertise your American connections. No one would dare see us off. And
wow.
When we took off, there had been a crowd at the airport because they were having a military formations aircraft show. And when we came in, all the crowd at the airport had waved and cheered and clapped our American plane. And when we left, not one of them clapped. They just looked up. And one of the passengers said, there is no one down there would not give half his life to be on this plane. So I thought, it's a dramatic situation. Let's make a short story out of it.
And you know what? Also could come right out of today's headlines. That's what I thought when I was reading it. All the civil wars going on and the carnage and people trying to get out to go to another country. And it was a story I won't ever forget because it had everything in it. You have a fleeing refugee. You've got a country's top-ranking police officer. You even have somebody trying to enter the cockpit. I mean, so the story is so modern. It's amazing.
Well, the only thing that isn't modern in it is there were two restrooms, one for women and one for men.
Wow.
That was the only that wasn't that doesn't exist today. Other than that, I agree. The situation exists.
And there are several other short stories in Death Wears a Beauty Mask that our listeners won't want to miss. They include one about my favorite sleuth lottery winner, Elvira, and her sidekick, Willie. And there's a fascinating suspense story for our listeners about incarnation. Haven't we met before? And then...
Uh-huh.
There was just a very chilling story about a very smart serial killer, the man next door. And you know what? I kept wondering if he's going to get away with it.
So did I. But I can't kill off my heroines. I just can't do that.
No, and I like the fact, as always, that there are so many strong heroines in your book. Now, you are having a very, very busy year to celebrate this important anniversary, 40th anniversary of your book. So what else are you going to be doing this year?
Well, actually, I have just another one. I was supposed to be working on that until so that it would come out in late April, but instead we put the beauty mask in because it was finished. But I just turned in the completely edited version of the new, of the one that comes out in June, and it's called The Melody Lingers On.
Oh, I love the title.
I think it's a pretty good story. It's something of a takeoff of a Bernie Madoff. Although in this one, he has crashed his yacht, but he has already established another identity in case he ever gets caught.
Yeah.
And I think it's a pretty good story.
It sounds good. I can't wait till it comes out. And you're so busy, and yet, you know, it keeps you going. And I feel just the way you do. I am never going to retire because I enjoy what I do so much. And that keeps life interesting. And there's so many interesting things to think about and for you to write about. And then you get all,
and
all
when what you're doing, you shouldn't quit. There's no reason.
You know, and then you have all your wonderful grandchildren, which do you find that they help keep you up to date on all these new trends? Because you can get completely baffled. Some of them I find puzzling, but they try to explain to me.
Well, you know what was funny? It's my children read the books, and they say, Mom, nobody ever heard that expression. So, you know, you write things that you're familiar with, but nobody has used a certain expression in 20 years, and they say, we wouldn't know what that means. So they keep me honest in the acknowledgments I wrote, Tempest Fugit.
That's Mary Higgins Clark in conversation with Carol Marks, and they're talking about her latest book, Death Wears a Beauty Mask and Other Stories, published by Simon & Schuster. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment. Michael Harrison here with you on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Very proud to be with you on this program. This program has been on the air in one form or another consistently now for over two decades. Kind of runs below the radar. It's heard on weekends on great talk radio stations around the country. And what I'm really proud about in terms of this program, in which I have the opportunity to serve as anchor, not as host. Carol Marks is the host, and I certainly am not the only voice on this show. We have a roundtable of outstanding personalities, experts, and broadcasters. What I love about this show is that in an industry marked by concern, focus, obsession with youth, and believe me, I'm about as young thinking as anybody you'll meet. Sometimes I'm even accused of being immature. But and so I'm all for that, and I'm all for looking ahead. But I'm also also for fairness, and I'm also for respect. And the media in America, driven by, obviously, Madison Avenue and commercial concerns, focuses primarily on young people. And if somebody's over 50 or 55 or 60, they quite often find that there's a lot lacking in terms of what's available in the mainstream media. So this program, which was conceived and developed by Carol Marks more than 20 years ago, originally was called Senior Focus, and it evolved into A Touch of Gray, and I became involved with it along the way, is something that really provides a service in as much as it unashamedly, unabashedly, unapologetically brings information to people via this wonderful medium of radio that is of use, of interest, of service, of comfort, of support to people over 50 years of age and their families, which is why I say at the beginning of the program, children of all ages, because so many people in their 50s find themselves in a situation that has been kind of accurately and colorfully termed the sandwich generation. meaning they have children, adult children, still living with them, and abiding by the rule that came down a long time ago, honor thy father and thy mother, they have their parents living with them. In many cases, these parents are in their 80s, 90s, and are living at home. And the amount of pressure that can be put on somebody dealing with adult children and senior parents all under one roof is extraordinary, and it's a phenomenon that in many ways I applaud. I'm all for families staying together. But also, there are people who are in need of support and information. So in many ways, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, is in fact a program for children of all ages. But I salute Carol Marx. I think that she has done and continues to do a remarkable job. And she does it under sometimes the worst of conditions because, like the rest of us, she's not getting any younger either. But she drives herself to research and get the information needed and select guests and topics. And not only that, she travels around the world and brings information from other countries on how their healthcare systems operate and how the services that they provide for senior citizens there are taken care of and done. And she brings that information back, not to mention she acts as a model, as a role model for people to get up and get out and live life and do things. And she's done everything from, she's explored, you know, if there were four corners on this planet, as the saying goes, she's been to all four of them. Check her out at the website, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. And I just wanted to mention that she is one fine lady, and we're grateful to be involved with her in this project.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. It is important to address a personal emergency response system in your home in case of falls or injuries. AARP encourages their use for many older Americans to enhance independence and security, especially for those living alone. Many brands of PERS are available on the market, and seniors should consider their specific needs and budget before deciding on a system. The Federal Trade Commission provides free online information. One can get a system as basic as wearing a necklace or bracelet and push a button that will transmit to an installed response center through your landline telephone. In the event of an emergency with falls, chest pain, a suspected intruder, a press of the button will have a 911 ambulance dispatched to your home, even if you cannot reach your phone. PERS systems can be rented or purchased through local hospitals and are affordable and serviced by representatives. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in the program to talk a little bit about the media and talk radio by our special correspondent, our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who is also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers that serves the talk radio industry at Talkers.com. Well, Kevin, the big event that Talkers Magazine puts on each year, the conference, the convention of talk show hosts and talk broadcasters, has come and gone, but it lingers on in our memory via the magic of videotape. And could you tell us a little bit about what exists on the Talkers website?
Sure. For folks who want to get a little bit of a peek into the talk radio industry and how talk show hosts discuss what goes on in the business and their programs and their philosophies and all that sort of stuff, it's available, you know, online at talkers.com. Videos of the panels where talk show hosts and programmers discuss what they do and what they'd like to do, and it's all available online on talkers.com in the Talkers TV box.
Yeah, we have how talk show hosts navigate their careers. We have some very interesting speeches by people who are major names in the industry. We have panels on behind-the-scenes technology and how talk show hosts deal with social media, the new digital technology that is utilized in the industry, balance between local programming and national programming. I mean, just about everything. You know what I find? I find that in today's world, people who are fans of anything, whether it's sports, show business, radio, they like to know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I think that some of the best movies are the movies that are called the making of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen those where the movie, the making of is better than the movie itself? So that's basically what this is all about. And folks, you'll be able to see Kevin. You're moderating. You moderate a very interesting panel.
I am the State of Talk Programming in 2015.
And that's all the folks that are the program directors and
Interesting array of folks on my panel from different aspects of the behind the scenes part of the business, which folks I think will find interesting to hear what a lot of these corporate and folks have to say about their craft.
All right, folks, so if you want to check it out, go to talkers.com and you'll be up to date on what's happening in talk radio and some special video features on Talkers TV from Talkers New York 2015, the annual conference of the talk radio industry. Thank you very much. Kevin Casey joins us regularly here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, which continues in a moment.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. You may recognize the symptoms of elderly depression, loss of appetite, weight loss, social withdrawal, problems with hygiene, neglecting personal well-being, or even a sadness that lasts over 2 weeks. Sound familiar? Here's what you can do about it. Exercise, eat well, and don't forget to socialize. Researchers at Duke University suggest exercising at least 3 times a week to keep the body and mind healthy. That means swimming, walking, and maybe light exercise classes with the approval of your medical doctor. Another key to happiness is maintaining self-esteem through clubs and groups. You might consider the gardening club or a musical choir. And lastly, treat your body well and it will thank you by feeling well. That means practicing good nutrition and eating well-balanced meals daily. Naturally, the needs of patients vary, but feel free to consult a geriatric specialist to make a personalized treatment plan. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at premiergeriatricrn.com.
Retrievers, Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with 4 legs and a tail. My husband and I have trained hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat, but adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite's the bomb.
Tell everybody we know about Dynavite.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite, it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. DINOVITE.com.
When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your old tech tools clog your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, in conversation now with Dr. Roger Landry. Dr. Landry has conducted extensive practical research on the influence of lifestyle on the aging process and memory loss, and has compiled his findings into an award-winning book titled Live Long, Die Short, A Guide to Authentic Health and Successful Aging, published by Greenleaf Book Group Press.
You know, one of the things that I've always thought, we do not have a healthcare system in America. We have a sick care system with an emphasis on treating disease rather than maintaining health. And I look at this and I find it very frustrating because it seems like it would not only be more cost effective to maintain health, but people would feel better. But is my perception accurate?
It is 100% accurate. When I went in the military for a couple years, I stayed for a career of 23 because the military is so heavily invested in prevention to keep their people healthy, prevent, I took care of flyers, so they didn't want them crashing because they'd lose the airplane as well as the flyer. And you know what, after the military, I went to a clinical system, a large clinical system, and to do prevention, and after 3 years, the CEO complimented me on how well I was doing with prevention, but she told me I was hurting revenue. This unfortunately is the way our system evolved. I think it's changing, and I know it will. It has to, actually. But right now, unfortunately, you are correct.
You know, your book, which really has wonderful and creative and doable ways for people not just to live longer, but to live healthier and happier, had a lot of wonderful little stories in there, including one that got a kick out of where you admitted that earlier in your career you had a touch of ageism when you were doing an examination for famous flyer Chuck Yeager. I wonder if you could tell us about that.
It was eye-opening, Steve, as a flight surgeon in aviation, to have Chuck Yeager in front of you is sort of daunting.
I
but
guess.
He was very gracious. I did a physical, he passed it, and then he was sharing some of the great stories from his life. And at one point he said, you know, Doc, I think on the 50th anniversary of breaking the sound barrier, I'm going to do it again. And young, cocky Dr. Landry, thinking he knows it all, in his early 30s, says, but Chuck, you'll be 73 years old then. And he bore into me with laser eyes and said, what's your point? That was my first lesson in ageism, which is basically setting low expectations based upon a number. It's crazy.
And in fact, Chuck Yeager went on to do that and further anniversaries of the sound barrier as well.
Indeed he did, Steve. It was just, getting close to a year ago, he did the 65th anniversary.
How great is that? Tell me a little bit about the Healthy Aging Working Group and how that came into being.
Well, the MacArthur Foundation from Chicago had on its board Jonas Salk, and he challenged that board back in the 80s to study not the decline in aging and how we respond to the illnesses and all the challenges, because we had done a lot of that. He says, let's study instead those people that we see who seem to just go on and on and on. And yes, they have challenges, but they seem to manage them, and they just stay a vital force until they're not. And they did for 10 years. And the result of that study changed our view of aging forever, because it found that how we age, it depends mostly upon our lifestyle. Up to 70% of how we age is determined by our lifestyle. The Healthy Aging Working Group, which was put together by my brother, who actually had been with the MacArthur Foundation as their chief financial officer, and later on was in a position to put a group together to apply that. And it was Jonas himself had told my brother, you know, we've discovered great things, but unless someone applies it, it's just going to lie fallow. So my brother put that group together, the Healthy Aging Working Group, the HOGS, and back in 1999, and on it he had several of the investigators from the MacArthur study, some industry, senior living industry experts, and he called me right after that little comment from my CEO, so it was perfect time, so I joined the group.
You know, you have 10 tips for aging, and they're all so helpful. But one of them really hit home, and it is how much socialization is important. And I think that chapter started with a quote: "It's better to eat fries with friends than broccoli alone." Now, tell us about that.
Well, the quote is from a friend that he has a great sense of humor. And
I love it.
It's meant to drive home something that the MacArthur Foundation found as one of the three major findings that differentiated people who aged in a better way, and that was they challenged themselves physically and mentally, they paid attention to their risks and tried to lower them. But the third one was totally new, and it's this one, that to the extent that someone was engaged in life and remained engaged in life, it seemed to make all the difference. That was defined as having a network of friends, being part of a community, and having meaning and purpose in your life. In our society, unfortunately, as we age, we become more isolated, losing friends, spouses, all those things associated with work and children, and all that seems to go away. We become isolated and risk just soar for bad things happening, because when we are socially connected, long-term studies have demonstrated that we're 2 to 5 times less likely to be affected by cancer, heart disease, and dementia, as well as depression and a number of other things. So staying connected to others and with purpose is critically important. It's equated to the risk of smoking when we are isolated.
Wow.
Someone has actually found that that's about equal. So that's how serious it is.
You know, the book, and I can't emphasize too much how helpful it is and how readable it is. But one of the things it does, it's so well organized, and it has an inventory for you to take, your personal lifestyle inventory, get an idea where you are, and then see how you can improve things. And, you know, some of the things obviously were things that we all know as far as exercise and all, but there were some that were very interesting, particularly, and everything in here is backed up with your scientific work. One of them was your ninth tip about having children in your life, and explain that.
Isn't that interesting? It's another one of those things that we kind of take for granted as we age. Our grandchildren grow up, we're less and less associated with children. Probably there's a myth out there that that's the way the children want it, and that's the way older adults want it, and it couldn't be further from the truth, because our whole history as a species has been a very tight intergenerational connection. In fact, for most of the time we've been on Earth, older adults raised the children while the parents were out working. This is in the hunter-gatherer stage, which has, again, been about 99% of the time we've been on Earth. So it's not a surprise when we see that when we do this in our program, the Hogs resulted in a whole initiative called Masterpiece Living, and we work with communities and we try to encourage all of these 10 tips and all the other research that we've seen, and this being one of them. So we encourage intergenerational contact. And Steve, to see what happens when older adults and children are together, it's a magical thing. It's magical. Dostoevsky said, "The soul is healed by being with children," and it couldn't be more true. And it's the other way around also. Children probably need. I know they need older adults probably more than ever for guidance and wisdom as they kind of lose their way in a highly technological society.
That's Dr. Roger Landry, who has conducted extensive practical research on the influence of lifestyle on the aging process and memory loss. He was in conversation with Steve Wiseman. His book is titled Live Long, Die Short, A Guide to Authentic Health and Successful Aging, published by Greenleaf Book Group Press. Steve Wiseman returns in just a moment to talk about obituary scams. That's next, when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment. We'll be right back.
For Touch of Gray in Washington, D.C., I'm Suzanne Hannis. 1 in 3 American senior citizens injures themselves in a fall every year. That means that nearly all of the country's senior population is at risk of a life-changing injury that may result in a loss of independence and a long period of rehabilitation or even death. The most common injuries related to falls are head trauma and hip fractures, according to the Centers for Disease Control. So how can you prevent such an eventuality? Have a home safety evaluation from a licensed physical therapist, routine visits to your medical doctor, exercise 3 times a week for strength and balance training, semi-annual eye exams, and a monthly review of your medications by a doctor or pharmacist. Every time you walk out the door, or even get out of bed in the morning, you run the risk of injuring yourself by a fall. Taking these preventative measures, you do minimize these chances. I'm Suzanne Hannis. Find out more at PremierGeriatricRN.com.
My golden retriever, Sundance, is a lot more playful now. She has more pep and energy than I've seen in years.
Tons of energy. Petey is having fun again. He's got a shiny coat and a good healthy weight.
Molly's been having 4 scoops a day. She pushes her little bowl all the way across the room, emptying every last single crumb. She has slimmed down and gotten this puppy look.
She's got life. She's got energy. She's got stuff to give.
We get asked all the time when we're at shows, how do you get your dog so healthy and shiny and glossy?
DinoVite.com.
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Family will be on Dynavite for the rest of his life.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Steve Wiseman is one of the nation's leading experts on scams and fraud and identity theft. He's the author of books such as The Truth About Avoiding Scams and Identity Theft Alert, published by Prentice Hall. His website is titled scamicide.com. Steve is here now to talk about obituary scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, scammers have no sympathy for anyone, as evidenced by the many scams that are based on obituaries. For years, scammers would scan the obituaries, then go to Social Security's Death Master File, where the names of deceased Americans are available along with their Social Security numbers, and then use that information on the deceased in order to make them a victim of identity theft by obtaining credit, filing phony income tax returns, or other tactics. Easy access by scammers to the Death Master File has been largely closed by legislation that took a long time to be made effective. Scammers also will look for information in obituaries about the names of family members and then use that information for purposes of the infamous grandparent scam, where the grandparent gets a telephone call late at night from a scammer posing as a grandchild who, under the guise of some emergency, tricks the grandparent into sending money to the scammer. Another scam is scammers will call the families of people they see in obituaries and claim they're creditors of the deceased and that the family must pay a debt owed by the deceased. And then finally, scammers will also deliver packages by messengers or on a COD basis, claiming that the package was something ordered by the deceased. It's only after the family member has paid the cash on delivery charges and opened the package that the family finds the package is just filled with old newspapers or magazines, merely used as weight. Scammers prey on people at their most vulnerable, so it's at the times like the death of a family member that you really have to be your most vigilant. When writing an obituary, don't put in specific information, such as names that could be used by a scammer of children or grandchildren. Also, contact the three major credit reporting bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, to seal the credit report of the deceased in order to avoid the risk of identity theft. Because that way, even if someone gets the Social Security number and other information on the deceased, they're not going to be able to open credit. If someone contacts you claiming a debt that was owed by the deceased requires payment right now, demand written confirmation for you to review before paying any alleged debts. And don't be pressured. Don't be pressured to act quickly by a purported debt collector. Finally, if a COD package comes, refuse. Refuse to pay until you can confirm that the delivery is legitimate. You know, it's kind of a sad situation, but you have to recognize that these scammers truly have no sympathy, and the only place you're going to find that helping hand is at the end of your own arm.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Wiseman joins us every week here on A Touch of Gray. He's a senior correspondent on the show. He's also a prolific writer, a lawyer, and an expert on scams and fraud, as well as many of the topics we talk about. He's written Identity Theft Alert and The Truth About Avoiding Scams, both published by Prentice Hall, and his website, check it out. It's very, very valuable. It's scamaside.com. Steve Wiseman. I'm Michael Harrison, and I want to thank Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer, putting it all together. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine for sharing some insights about the media. And, of course, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and a champion in the battle against ageism. And remember, no matter how many years you have, you know, on your odometer, no matter how many times you've taken that voyage around the sun, it's never too late to follow your dreams, to follow your passions, and to really enjoy your life to its fullest. Never too late at all. So get cracking at it. I'm Michael Harrison. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next weekend right here on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.